Okay, am I got the mic too far from me? Is that the problem? I think I'm on now. Okay, great. This morning we're going to be talking about the God of all grace. I'm still not on. Somebody want to raise me my, I can. Is that better? Okay, there we go. Mic was too far. I knew it was on, so. Okay, so we are going to talk this morning about the God of all grace, but I'm just going to just kind of do a quick summary of the names that we have looked at. We sang El Shaddai this morning, and we began our study this fall on with the title of God's name of El Shaddai. He's the God who is all-powerful, all-sufficient. He keeps his promises. We looked at Jehovah Nissi, which is God is my banner, and we talked about the battle, the victory belonging to God, and the need to prepare for the battle by putting on God's armor, because there's a part in the battle of God's battle that we take part in, and we need to be armed for it. And then Agnes talked about Elohim as the creator, and we were reminded that we needed to look around and see God in the creation around us, and what a great God he is, and how he created us. And then we looked at Eshokaya, and El Kana, and that's a jealous God, a consuming God, and God is jealous for us, not of us, for us. He knows that what he has is the very best for us, and when we choose to wander from him, he is jealous, and he brings us back to himself because he knows he has what's best for us. And then we did Jehovah, which is I am who I am, the title God gives to Moses. And we were reminded in part that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, never changes. It's a real comfort. Then I looked at Elwa, which is the God who sees, and I changed my favorite statement, which is remember in the darkness what you learned in the light, to remember in the darkness what you learned in the darkness, because Hagar had forgotten. And then we did Jehovah Jireh, and the Lord will provide. And Kathleen reminded us that God will provide all our needs in every situation, and that our priority is that we need to be in a right relationship with him, that needs to be our first priority, seeking him, and he will take care of the rest. That's his job. And Agnes talked to us about Jehovah Ra, which is the Lord is my shepherd. And she reminded us that what we were doing this fall is getting to know our shepherd, and we need to get to know our shepherd. That's really important. And she reminded us that we are really like sheep. And sheep really aren't the brightest in the world. It was a good reminder. And last week we did Jehovah Tisbatho, Lord of Hosts. And Kerry reminded us that God is always working for us, that the battle belongs to the Lord, and it won't be run by our human effort. And she challenged us to say, where do we want to see God work? And to write that out. And so this morning we come to the only title of God that we are using from the New that originates in the New Testament. It's the God of all grace, and it is found in 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 10, it's given in the context of suffering, and he says, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. And this has been the most life-changing name of God that I have ever studied. So when I say grace, I just want you to answer me. What do you think of when I say grace? Give me, Kathleen. Anybody else? Thanking God. Yeah. Sorry? Yep. So I have read the word grace in scripture, and it is there multiple times. So I have in the New Testament 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 double-sided sheets of paper from the New Testament on grace, that word. And when I thought of grace, I thought of grace in terms of salvation. Plain and simple, that's where I stopped. When I saw that word grace, so Scripture says about Christ that he is full of grace and truth. And I translated that word grace to be kind, considerate, thoughtful, loving. Now, I'm not saying that's not part of grace, but that's not what Christ is. He's full of grace. He is full of giving us unmerited favor. And I hadn't thought of that. It just blew my mind when I came to study this. And so this morning we are just going to touch on the concept of grace. Just barely get there, okay? So I would encourage you to really consider grace in a new light, not just in the light of salvation. Grace is defined by J.R. Packer as God's love in action towards people who merited the opposite. And we can see that in many passages. If you look in Romans 5, you'll see quite a few passages that talk about that, how when we were away from God, when we were enemies of God, when we were dead in our sins, Christ came to pay the penalty for our sins and die for us. And as we approach Christmas, we need to see that Christ is God in action. When Christ chose to come and be born on earth and live as a man, that was God's ultimate grace towards us. Because without Christ, there would be no grace. Because our sins would not have been forgiven in that sense. But you know what? Even though I chose that title from the New Testament, as I was studying, I realized that I had done the same thing in the New Testament with the word of grace as I had when I saw the word gracious in the Old Testament. And when I looked in the Old Testament and I would read these passages that say, so this is when Moses is in the cleft of the rock on Mount Sinai, and God is passing by him, and God passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love, faithful, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And in Nehemiah, he's talking and he says, but in your great mercy, you did not put an end to them or abandon them, for you are a gracious and merciful God. And I translated gracious in my brain to be kind, considerate, thoughtful, compassionate. But really, grace, being great to be gracious, is showing divine grace. So even way back there in the Old Testament, when God is talking about himself, he is saying, I am a God of grace. He is kind, considerate, and thoughtful. But I am a God who exercises grace, which is unmerited favor. And I had never grasped that. It was just so, now when I read that word grace, I get a whole new appreciation for what is being said. And then as I did my study in preparation, I always thought of grace in terms of salvation, and absolutely, positively, that is where we see divine grace at its greatest, is in salvation. It says in Romans 3, 23 and 24, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. And in Romans 5, 1 and 2, it says, therefore, since you have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And in Ephesians it says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And in Ephesians 3:7, it says, I am a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. And so God's grace to each one of us is his unmerited favor, in that while we were still sinners, while we were separated from God, while we were distant from God, while we didn't want to have anything to do with him, he chose in his great love to send Jesus to pay the penalty for our sins. And if we admit that we are separated from God, and if we believe that God did accept Jesus' sacrifice for our payment for our sin, and then we do what is in Ephesians 3:7, which is we commit to him, that is when we receive God's grace. But God's grace goes on every single day. But the first step is you need to accept his offer of a free gift of grace, because that's where it begins. And if you haven't ever done this morning, I would encourage you to do that. I'd be happy to talk to you about how to do it afterwards, but it really is ABC. Admit that you are separated from God and there's nothing you can do to bridge that gap. Believe that God did accept Christ's sacrifice for the payment for your sins, and that, C, you need to commit to him. And he will send his Holy Spirit to indwell you and enable you to have his free grace, his unmerited favor. But it is more than that. Grace is more than that. If you read through the scriptures, grace is there for our spiritual growth. In 2 Peter 3:18, it says, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." It says in James 4:6, "But he gives us more grace." In Acts 20:32, "Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. And in 2 Corinthians 9, he says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you in all things, at all times, having all that you need, so that you may abound in every good work." Grace is there for spiritual growth. We need to say, "I need to grow in grace. I need to grow in being able to show unmerited favor to those around us." That's a tough call. And we can't do that on our own. We're coming up to Christmas. And Christmas can be a really rough time for lots and lots of people. They have a history where Christmas was not a positive time, or they're separated from their families, or they have siblings that don't talk to them, or there are past hurts that they haven't dealt with themselves and they need to deal with. So going home, you just kind of feel like, oh, this is going to be a disaster. And these are people at Christmas time that we need to show unmerited favor to, God's unmerited favor to, whether we want to or not, because that's what God wants us to do. But we need to pray about that. Family relationships are not easy. We are not Leave It to Beaver Cleavers, where we can solve all our family problems in 5 seconds. We're coming up to Christmas, and I know for lots of people, this is going to be a difficult, stressful time. They're going to have to put a zipper on their mouth and come out of those situations thinking, "Why did I bother to show up?" But you bother to show up because you can show God's unmerited favor to those around you. And maybe one of them will see just a little bit more and come closer to God. And so we need to pray that God will increase our grace. We need to grow spiritually. And then one of our least favorite subjects is suffering. This morning, when I work out, I listen to sermons. And Mark Clark is the pastor of Village Church in BC. That's a big church. He's a really interesting guy. If you want some good sermons to listen to, I recommend him. He's great. And he was talking today that when he was starting in his ministry and he was getting advice and talking to people, he met with a group of men, and one of them said to him, "You are where you are today because of the struggles in your life, from the suffering." His parents separated. He has Tourette's syndrome. He has OCD. His father died when He was 15. He was into drugs and alcohol and robbery, you name it. He was there. They said, through those adversities, God has made you the man you are today. And we think that when we suffer and are going through difficult times, or we don't like a characteristic that God has given us, and we think we're really struggling with it, these are the things that God uses to change us and mold us and make us into the people that he wants us to be. And so we need to see that Christians suffer. We don't want that topic. We don't want to talk about it. But that is the truth. And actually, that is the point at which God gives this name. I am the God of all grace. He is talking to Christians in the early church who are going through persecution and difficulties and hardships. And he says, I am the God of all grace, and I will see you through. And when you've come through the other side, he doesn't say if you come through the other side. He says, when you come through the other side, I will make you strong and firm and steadfast. And so we need to acknowledge that we need grace when we are suffering. And it says in 2 Corinthians, it's Paul talking, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient. It's grace. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that God's power may rest on me. It is God's grace that was sufficient for what Paul was going through. Whatever the thorn in Paul's flesh was, I don't know what it was, but he didn't want it there. He prayed 3 times that God would remove it. And God said, I'm not going to. It's not an answer we ever want to hear from God, is it? We never want God to say no. At least I don't. Maybe you guys like God saying no, but I don't like God saying no. And he says, my grace is sufficient. It's his grace that is sufficient. His unmerited favor to us is sufficient to see us through whatever he puts us in and wherever we are. It's his grace that does it. And we need to see that we need that grace every day. And then it teaches us in Scripture that he gives us grace for using our gifts. You have to remember, when I was doing this, I was just being blown away by this because I always thought of grace in terms of my salvation. It says in Romans 12:6, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. It is if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in the proportion of his faith. And in Ephesians, it said, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace. So Paul's ability to preach and to teach was a result of God's gift, as a result of his grace. And in 1 Peter, it says, each one of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. And so even the use of our gifts comes from God's grace. It is his grace that gives them to us, and it is his grace that enables us to use them. And we've all shared before when we're up here that when we're preparing and teaching and planning and getting ready to speak, things in our lives happen, in our lives to impress upon what we're teaching. And I had been praying in the fall about what God would have me do, and I thought he said I should go to Haiti. Now, we've had 2 trips to Haiti. I've prayed. I thought I should go. God kept saying no, no. So this year I prayed about going to Haiti, and I thought God said yes. And since I'd had a heart incident in the summer, I thought, okay, God's grace is sufficient. I knew what I was teaching. God's grace is sufficient. I'll be fine. But then I thought, well, I have to tell my husband and my children that I'm thinking about going to Haiti. And I was a little bit concerned about the reaction, but my husband is very gracious. I think he always thinks before he speaks. I said, I think I'm going to go on that Haiti trip. And he said, oh, that sounds like a good idea. I thought, okay. So I talked to my daughter, and she said, oh, okay, yeah, that's okay. Talked to one of my sons, and he said, yeah, that sounds fine. I must admit I didn't talk to my middle son because he was really the one of my three children that was really, I think, most upset by my problems in the summer. But I thought, great, I'm going to go to Haiti. But I don't think there's going to be a Haiti trip. Marnie's sitting back there nodding her head. Haiti's not a good place to go right now, and not many people were going to go. So I thought, okay, God, it's great. I can handle going to Haiti. Grace is sufficient. So what do you want me to do? And I thought, well, you know, I've spent a lot of time around sick people lately, and I really wouldn't mind volunteering in a hospice or doing something. So I was putting, you know, ever pray and then put all these suggestions before God? I did. The one I put before him, the one I didn't put before him was the one I got as an answer. And God said, I want you to start speaking again at Pine Grove. And I went, no, I don't think that's a good idea. I must have misheard you. I don't think that's a good idea. And then I was preparing this, and I came to using your gifts, and I believe that speaking is one of my gifts. And God said, I want you to start speaking again at Pine Grove. So I have signed up to speak in the new year a couple of times. But it was interesting. I had all these great ideas of what God was going to tell me to do. And he said, just use what I've given you. My grace is sufficient. But when he first said it, I was a little bit like, no. That's okay. We'll just go somewhere else. So I'm trusting God that his grace is sufficient. I love God's word. I love studying it. I'm just not as keen about getting up and talking about it. But God's grace is sufficient. And so it was really interesting for me to see that God's grace is using our gifts. And then I realized that God's grace leads us to worship. And we worship because we are saved, and I understand that. But as I was reading through, it says in 2 Corinthians, all this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. And earlier I read a verse in Romans, and it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So grace results in worship as well. And I just had not seen those characteristics. That grace is, when God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient. It is sufficient for everything. A long time ago, there is a verse in Scripture, and it wasn't in the context of that verse, but God said to me, am I sufficient? Is what I did for you at Calvary sufficient? If you never hear from me again, if you never hear my voice, if you never get any more guidance, is what I did for you at Calvary sufficient? And I said, yes. What you did for me at Calvary, Lord, is sufficient. My sins are forgiven. I'm a child of God. I have eternal life. What you did for me at Calvary was sufficient. But I knew when I said that I probably wasn't going to hear from God for a while. And that was true. But the truth is, grace is sufficient for all that we need. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he sends his Holy Spirit to indwell us, and his grace is with us. And we can grow in that grace. And as we grow in that grace, we will grow spiritually. We will become more like Christ. We will endure suffering, but we will endure it, seeing that it has a benefit, and God is there with us in the midst. We will see that his grace is sufficient for doing our gifts. We have no excuse to say, I can't do that. If God has called you, it is his responsibility to equip you and get you through it. And we will see that it will lead us to worship. We will be praising God as we recognize his grace in our lives. And so my challenge as we're looking to Christmas is for you to look for God's grace every day. Every day. See where God is giving you unmerited favor. And I have to tell you that last Thursday I was not in good humor. I was not being very gracious. I was, not where I should be. And I was talking to God about it. The only positive thing about this is I was talking to the right person. When you're going to grumble and complain, do it to God. He's the best person to do it to. And so I was grumbling and complaining to God. And there are certain things that cannot be changed in your life. And I know that Christmas is a difficult time for me, and because my father died just before Christmas, and it was a long time ago, I was 12, but the reality is I know that Christmas is a difficult time for me. I know what steps I need to take. I know what I need to do. I've lost my brother and sister in the last 18 months, and so looking forward to Christmas without that around was not great. Those things can't be changed. And I have learned over the years how to cope with that kind of scenario. And I wasn't doing it yet last week, but I knew what to do. But, you know, when we're at our worst, God is at our best. And so 5 minutes after I was grumbling about my attitude to God and how I wasn't doing what I didn't want to do anything I had to do. I was going on. The phone rang, and it was doctor's office. And she said, "Mrs. Woolsey, this is Dr. McPherson's office. Doctor's not going to be in when your appointment is in 10 days, so we're going to have to put it off till the new year. I'm not looking forward to this doctor's appointment," but it wasn't on my list of grumbles to the Lord, by the way, just so you know. I'm not looking forward to it, but it's not on my list of grumbles. So I say, "Okay, yeah, that's fine. I would really like it, but it's okay." So then she goes to look for the appointment, and she says, "Oh, did you do your blood work?" And I said, "Yes, on Tuesday I did my blood work. 2 weeks before the appointment, you're supposed to do your blood work. I had done it." And she said, "Okay, you can come tomorrow at 8 o'clock. God's grace. I went in. The appointment was like 100 times better than I could have ever hoped for or imagined. And just to put this in context, I have really bad cholesterol. It's still really bad. But it is the same as it was 20 years ago when I saw this doctor. Exactly the same. And God was gracious. I keep papers. I found the paper. I took it in from when I'd seen her before. And she said, "Oh, your cholesterol's the same it was 20 years ago. Oh, I guess they just want me to do something because you had a heart incident." You know, like if it's the same for 20 years, it's okay. But the appointment went much better. God couldn't change the fact that Christmas is difficult for me because my father's death, that I've lost my siblings. Those aren't changeable. And he's taught me things I can do, and I focus on what they meant in my life and the positive and the blessings they were, and that gets me through. But he changed that doctor's appointment just for me. And I went in the next morning at 8 o'clock. So when you have less than 24 hours even to think about it, you can't, there's nothing to it. You know, you just go in, you get it over with. And I thought, that was your grace to me. It wasn't what I'd asked him for. It wasn't what I was grumbling and complaining about. But he loves us. And he does neat things like that for us every single day. He extends his unmerited favor to us. And in my case, I see it more clearly when I am not where I should be than when things are going great. But he does. And so I want to encourage you as we lead up to Christmas, as we lead up to celebrating Christ's birth, the greatest grace God gave us, that we look for grace every day in our lives. And then I want us to learn to extend that same grace to others. That unmerited favor. So when someone gives you a Christmas present that you think they should know that you would not possibly want, has that ever happened to any of you? Ever got a Christmas present that you think, how could they give me that? Like, that's not me. So I'll give you an example. I don't drink tea or coffee. I haven't drunk tea or coffee since I was 40. So that's a long time ago. Somebody gave me tea for Christmas 2 years ago. It was fine. It wasn't an issue. I have guests. I'm quite happy to use that tea and serve it. It wasn't that. But we all have experienced that. Can we show grace? And the closer the person is to you that does that, the harder it is to show that grace. That tea did not come from somebody really close to me, so it's a little easier to extend that grace. It's tough. When someone says something to you and it hurts your feelings, when someone corrects you or criticizes you, I don't know what you were like with your siblings, but my siblings could push my buttons. They're really good at it. It took me, I was an adult, and I realized that that was going on, and I had to institute things that changed that scenario because I didn't like that scenario, and I chose that it was not going to happen, and that I was going to respond differently. But my children can push my buttons pretty good. It was bad enough when it was my siblings, but my children still do it, and they still do it deliberately, by the way. And they are in their 40s. Just so you all know that. It's not going to end when they're teenagers, after they grow up and move away from home. They will come in the house and deliberately do something just to see if they can get... usually they say something to see if they can get a rise out of me. But I need to extend grace when they're doing that. I need to say, stop pushing my buttons. I need to acknowledge it. But I still need to extend grace. Still need to have them come in the house and see them, knowing that they might do that. So we need to learn to extend the same grace that God has extended to us, his total, complete, unmerited favor, while we were way far away from God, headed in the opposite direction, ignoring him. He extended grace to us, and we need to do that to every person that we come in contact with. And it's not, I'm telling you it's not easy. I'm not saying it's a piece of cake. But God's grace is sufficient to enable us to do that. And we need to do that as we go through the holiday season. We need to remember, we need to look at for God's grace every day. We need to remember that Christmas is celebrating God's greatest grace to us in sending Christ. And then we need to extend that same grace to others as we celebrate the holiday season. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask you to join me in singing Amazing Grace. Lord, I just thank you that your grace is sufficient. And I am so thankful that when I am not where I should be, that you still extend grace to me. And I pray that over the holiday season, that I will be able to extend that grace to everyone who I come in contact with, not only over the holiday season, but forever. And I just thank you for that great grace. A grace that is sufficient for each and every day, for all you ask me to do and for all I need to do, and for everyone around me. I pray that we will all extend your grace to those we meet, and that that grace that we extend for those of our loved ones who don't know you will be a stepping stone to them finding you over the holiday season. And we thank you for Jesus, who chose to leave your presence, to chose to leave heaven, to be born in a manger to save us, to save me. I just thank you for him. In his name we pray. Amen. Can you stand and join me? We're going to sing Amazing Grace. The words should be on the screen. Need to change the overhead. Okay, great. Okay. We don't have any sound. great light plans.